ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुर्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः नाम श्रेष्ठं मनमपि शक्तिपुत्रमत्र स्वरूपं रूपं तस्यागजमरूपरिं मातरिं गोष्ठवतीं राधाकुण्डं गिरिवरमहो राधिका माधवाशं प्राप्तो यस्य प्रथितः कृपया श्रीगुरुं तं नतोऽस्मि वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयतः पदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागजातं सहगणरघुनाथन्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखा वेदाहम् एतं पुरुषं महान्तमादित्यवाणं तमसः परस्तात् तमेव विदित्वाचि मृत्युमेति नान्यः पन्था विद्यते यनाय यस्मात् परं न परमस्ति किञ्चित् जयति जननिवासो देविकि जन्मवादो यदुवरपरिषत् स्वायदोर्भिरस्यन् अधर्मं स्थिरचरवृजिनः सुस्मितश्रीमुखेन व्रजपुरवनितानां वर्धयन् कामदेवम् बर्हापीडं नटबरवपुः कर्णयो कर्णिकारं बिभ्रद्वासः कनककपिशं वैजयान्तीं च मालं रन्ध्रान् वेणोरधरसुदया पुरयान् गोपवृन्दैर्वृन्दारण्यं स्वपदरमणं प्राविशद्गीतकीर्तिः श्रीराधायः प्रणयमहिमा कीदृशो वानयाय वास्वाद्यो येनाद्भुतमधुरिमा कीदृशो वामदीयः सौख्यं चास्यामदनुभवत कीदृशं वेति लोभात् तद्भावाढ्यसमजनिषच्चि गर्भसिन्धो हरिन्दुः हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे नेम 502 इन् श्री विष्णु सहस्रनाम is bhokta, which means the enjoyer. It's a very important name because it defines our whole relationship with Bhagavan and our attitude toward him. Everyone accepts, at least, yeah, even people who don't accept that there is a God accept that the definition of him is that he's supreme and powerful, he or she, according to their imagination, or he and she, as we might say in our Gaudiya line. But they can't love him properly, if at all they have the concept of loving him, they can't love him properly unless they understand that he is the enjoyer. If they think, I am the enjoyer and he helps me enjoy, which is what most people who believe in God do in every religion, then they may love God, but they love God in the selfish way that a child loves the parents, because the parents do so many things for me. It's a completely different understanding of an attitude toward love. You understand English? Can't even understand that I'm asking him that. So the whole approach to Krishna and love of Krishna is completely different to that of any religious system. And I may say even most of the commentators on Vishnu Sahasranam There's even within the Vaishnav Sampradayas, there's the idea he will give us moksha. And of course, their concept of moksha is not that of the impersonalist. Their concept is we go there and we serve him, we go to Vaikuntha and we serve the Lord. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us absolute selflessness in the service of Krishna as the highest, that actually gives us the highest bliss, because after all, everyone is self-interested. Why? Because Krishna is self-interested, but Krishna's self-interestedness manifests as his selflessness. Follow that? No, it's not really very logical. It doesn't seem logical to us, because our consciousness is so much in the consciousness of ahammameti, me and I, me and mine. So God is all powerful, he is the enjoyer. Everything we do is meant for his enjoyment. And with that attitude, one can enter into real spiritual life. Anyway, I'm not going to go on, I'm not going to explain this more now, because it's already come up, although, as I say, it is a name that requires so much consider regularly, again and again and again. We should discuss. He is the enjoyer, we are the servants. Our relationship to him in that way, that we conceiving, what does it mean to say that we are the servant? That he, of course, in the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, this point is particularly stressed. Kainkarya, Vishnu Kainkarya, the attitude of service to the Supreme Lord. That service can go to the level of even in Gaudiya teachings, or can go to the level even of insulting him, rejecting him. This is at the very highest level of the gopis, especially fighting with him, cowherd boys, because he enjoys that, he likes that. So the servant can apparently transgress his position as a servant to give pleasure to the Lord. There's a very nice narration of this in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. Excuse me. Well, his servant Govinda, in that chapter, there's a description of how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was especially blissfully dancing one day. And it went on and on and on and on and on for hours. And everyone was exhausted except Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So eventually Nityananda managed to stop the kirtan. He didn't want to shock Chaitanya Mahaprabhu out of his ecstasy. So just one by one he stopped the devotees singing until Chaitanya Mahaprabhu alone was singing. And all of a sudden he realized there's no one else singing. And then, what happened? Said, well, we've been doing kirtan for several hours now, all devotees are exhausted and no one took any prasadam, and it's time to for midday bath. Oh, okay, all right. So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went for his midday duties, his bathing in the sea. He wouldn't have done sandhya vandanam, actually. It says his midday duties, but as a Mayavadi sannyasi, superficially, he wouldn't have done sandhya vandana. Mayavadis, they don't do that. Mayavadi sannyasis. Then he went to take prasad, and as usual, he went back to his residence, and there Govinda, his servant, would give him light massage until he fell asleep, and then Govinda would go and apportion Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's prasad remnants and take some himself. But this day, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he came to his residence, the Gambhira, He just went in the doorway and collapsed in the doorway. He couldn't walk one step more. The transcendental pastime of being exhausted. Although the Supreme Lord is inexhaustible. So then Govinda came and he saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's already sleeping, but he's supposed to massage him, so all the pain of the the tiredness of his legs would go away. But he couldn't go in because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was blocking the passageway. Of course, he couldn't step over Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he thought what to do. Govinda took his upper cloth, placed it over Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's body, offered obeisance, crossed over Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's body, and then came inside and did the massage. And then he just waited because he didn't want to step over his body again. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu woke up after some time and said, "What are you doing here? Why didn't you go and take prasad?" And Govinda said, "Well, I couldn't go out because I'd have to step over your body." And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Well, how did you get in?" He said, "Well, I had to put the cloth and cross it." He said, well, you could have gone back the same way that you went in. And then Govinda was quiet. Govinda's attitude was that to perform service, I can do millions of offenses. If I have to do the service, I may go to hell, but for my own sake, to go and take prasad, I won't do anything. So that's the attitude of a servant. The Lord is the enjoyer. I may have to offend him in one way to serve him in another. I may have to overstep the bounds of propriety in order to serve him. But for my own sake, I can't, even a trace of offense, I cannot do. So different people relate to the Supreme Lord in different ways. For some, they just realize he's there. Oh, uparwala hai. That's all. He's there. He's up there somewhere. That's all. That's all. He's up there. And when we need him, when I need you, don't call me, I'll call you. If I need you, we'll give you a call. Otherwise, you be there and we'll be here. That's all. They recognize he's there. All right. Yeah, we believe in God. We're good people. For others, they pray to him, "Give us this day our daily bread. Give us the thy will be done. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," and so on. They pray to him. So they're more pious. They don't just believe, they pray to him regularly. For others, they take him as their guide in their life. They may be praying, "God, guide me, help me." But the real bhakti begins when we accept that he is the enjoyer. I am simply to be enjoyed, everything I do. And he reciprocates accordingly. So it's very important to understand that the more we dedicate ourselves to him, not for our sake, again quoting Jesus, "Thy will, not mine, be done." Prayer of Jesus. Of course, a better even prayer than that is that we don't have any independent will of our own. That we only want to do what he wants us to do, that's all. So the more we dedicate ourselves to him, the more he reciprocates with us. And the more all the undesirable qualities, lust, greed, anger, illusion, envy, pride, and so on, those six are very well known, kam, krodh, lobha, moha, mada, matsarya, And there are so many other bad qualities. Laziness, fault-finding, not dedicating ourselves in the service of Krishna, doubts about Krishna and Krishna consciousness. All of them will go away as we dedicate, as the more we take on this attitude, I am his servant, he is the enjoyer. I am to be enjoyed by him. Savior, sevak bhav, this is called. The feelings that arise, or the attitude of he being the one to be served and I am the servant. This term, savior, sevak bhav, comes in Chaitanya Charitamrita, in which it's stated that Mayavad completely destroys that savior, sevak bhav, and is therefore the most insidious concept. The next name 503, is Kapindra. Kapi means monkey. It's one name for monkey. More common word in modern Indian languages is Bandar. That comes from Vanara. But Kapi, so the Lord of the Monkeys. So that brings to mind, of course, Lord Rama, and also, of course, Krishna. Baladev Vidyabhushan, he defines this name in terms of Lord Krishna, and other commentators mostly do so in terms of Lord Rama. So Rama is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he's acting in a manner that is not like the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's acting like a king, which is like the Supreme Lord, but not apparently in forgetfulness of his own position. And the monkeys also, he's the Supreme Lord, but he appears to be a man. But the monkeys serving Lord Rama, of course there must have been so many monkeys in Ayodhya, as there are up to the present day. But the particular monkeys that came as the followers of Sugriva and Hanuman, they are also, just as Ram is not really a man, but they're not really monkeys, they're demigods who took the form of monkeys to help Lord Rama. Of course, he doesn't need any help, but then if he doesn't need any help, then we're just talking about being the servant, then where's the service? If he doesn't need any help, then we can all just become stones or Mayavadis or something. He very kindly gives us the opportunity to serve him. Now, of course, the monkeys in the service of Lord Ram, they're not ordinary monkeys. It's not every monkey that can jump from Bharat to Lanka. Even now, there aren't any monkeys who can do that. What to speak? Lanka at that time is described in Ramayana as several hundred yojanas from Bharat. So that's a bit of a controversy how the present Lanka is quite close. They're talking monkeys. Monkeys also talk, but they have their own language, which we can't, and humans can't interact with them. Srila Prabhupada spoke to a monkey once, at least once. There's a narration of that, how one monkey was disturbing the devotees so much, and Prabhupada spoke to the monkey in monkey language and told them, don't disturb so much. He's disturbing his disciples in Vrindavan. From the Western, they weren't used to it. But they were communicating, it appears, in Sanskrit, with Lord Rama. Or maybe they were speaking Avadi or their own local. No, Lord Rama is from that. Of course, what we call Avadi now is the modern dialect. At that time, it would have been different. Maybe not that different, because things change very quickly in Kali Yuga. But we see the tradition, everything is the same in the time of Lord Ram, millions of years ago. The whole culture is the same as it was until very recently in India, and still to some extent is going on. The monkeys were from somewhat further south. Anyway, what language they spoke, who knows? Who's going to find out? Even you'll find in one area there are different languages spoken. Just like in Tamil Nadu, they may be in the same village. Even today, the Brahmins speak one language and the other people, they speak another version of Tamil. Or it may be that the tribal people have a completely different language, and so on and so on. So anyway, they could speak, which is not usual for monkeys, that they can communicate. And they're very intelligent also, especially Hanuman. And very powerful, pulling up trees and rocks. It wasn't only Hanuman who was strong. Of course, he was super strong, but the others were also there. They defeated the armies of Ravana with rocks and stones and trees. And of course, Krishna's monkeys, the monkeys in Vrindavan in Krishna's pastimes, they're not ordinary monkeys. They're super monkeys. Monkeys are known as being mischievous. When our boys, they're not behaving properly, we say they're just like monkeys. Because little boys are like monkeys, unless they're disciplined strictly. They tend to be like monkeys, jumping around, making a disturbance, destroying things. Krishna's monkeys in Vrindavan, they're super monkeys. Means they must have been really mischievous, really expert in stealing butter, and really causing a lot of trouble. If Krishna and the monkeys were only causing a little trouble, just sometimes going and stealing a little yogurt or something, but no, on a regular basis, stealing, breaking the pots, making the children cry, is really, Vrindavan Leela is intense, so we can understand that the monkeys there, they're not, they may have been rishis in their previous life, but in this life they're super disturbing. And it's all bliss. And Krishna's the leader of the monkeys, king of the monkeys. Maybe his mother would chastise him like this, that you're the biggest monkey in all of Vrindavan. So this idea of God as the Lord of the monkeys. And we think, well, that's a very strange idea, isn't it? I mean, God's the Lord of, he's the Lord of everything. He's the Lord of the mountains and the trees, of the Jews, the chosen people. There are so many things we can say he's the Lord of. He's the Lord of the oceans. Why the Lord of the monkeys? It's not such a common name. There are other names. Gopal, Govinda, which relate him to the cows. But we can understand that just as the cows are important in Krishna's pastimes, so monkeys are also. although definitely we put more emphasis on the cows. The idea of God, the Supreme Being, as being the Lord of the monkeys, if we take these three religions, Judaism, Christianity, Islam, chronologically they came in that order. The idea of God as being the Lord of the monkeys, there's no possibility to even imagine such a thing. He's very remote and grand, and in Judaism doesn't have a name, or his name is not to be pronounced. In Islam, they think it's a sin even to think that you could see God or to be friendly with him. They think it's a great insult. What is this, Lord of the monkeys? God's much greater than that. Well, our God is a fun-loving God. He likes to have fun. Not that you pray to him, you go to church or to the synagogue or the mosque and you pray, you're very solemn, and then you come out and have fun. Just like I used to see in my childhood Sunday church. Everyone go to church and pray to God, give us this day our daily bread. Kyrie eleison, Lord have mercy. And all very solemn. And then they come out and the men would stand around and chat for some. The women would go home and cook their Sunday specials, which I don't want to say it is, what they'd cook. And the men would stand around chatting for a time, and then the pub is just exactly opposite to the church. And they do their best business on Sundays because all the men go to the pub. So after the Mass is over, the Mass is the Catholic service, all very solemn. Then they come out and they're all laughing and joking, and then they go to the pub and they do more laughing and joking, and then they go home and enjoy their Sunday meal. So they're enjoying, but for God, no, he shouldn't enjoy. He's solemn and grave. Yeah, he can be, but he's also the Lord of the monkeys. He has a highly developed enjoying spirit. He's the enjoyer. The name just came, Bhokta. He's the enjoyer. There's a highly, not exactly developed, because it's inherent in him, but he's fun to be with. Fun to be with. Even this idea of playing around with the monkeys, even the Vaikunthavasis, they're, for them, yeah, he's nice, he's kind, but messing around with monkeys, it's a bit below his dignity. The Vaikunthavasis, or the worshippers of the Lord as Narayana, they know Krishna, yeah, nice. They like to hear about Krishna, but they think, well, that's just one aspect. Then the real thing is the Lord of Vaikuntha. And Krishna, yeah, it's very nice to hear about him dancing with the gopis and this and that, but that's Krishna, and they can't really get into it or appreciate it as the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can do, because God, he puts everything in order. That's another. There are so many names in Vishnu Sahasranam that give the idea of him as being the Ishvara, Vidhata. He's the controller and keeps everything in order. And people feel, yeah, if everything's in order, then we feel very peaceful and calm and satisfied. When life is chaotic, just like in the cities, if you want to leave the cities, it's chaotic and it's disturbing. You never know what's going to happen next, and you can't get any peace or any satisfaction. So you think, well, God must be, God is, yeah, everything nicely under control, everything's in order, we can peacefully take rest at night, and we know we'll get up in the morning, and everything is in order, everything going on by the protection of the Supreme Lord. But Krishna, his pastimes are completely chaotic. I mean there are some things which they are in order. I mean the sun rises in the morning and the sun sets at night, and in between everything. And there is some eightfold daily pastime, but you never know, some demon, they're just playing with their cowl, and there's a demon comes, or or Radharani comes dressed up as a cowherd boy, or the forest fire starts burning, or there's some news that someone's coming from Mathura to take Krishna. Oh, it's completely chaotic, and the Vaikunthavasis, it's nice to hear about, but they're more satisfied to be in the Vaikuntha, but they can't enter into Krishna Lila. Even the Lakshmi herself, when she tried, Gopi anagatye bina aishwarya gyane bhajile ho na pai brajendra nandane. Without following the path of the gopis, if one worships the Supreme Lord in the mood of awe and reverence, considering his majesty to be paramount, then one cannot attain Krishna in Vrindavan. This month, especially Damodar month, Kartik month, is especially for recalling Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. The monkey Leela, we can all call to mind. There's a very beautiful painting by one of Srila Prabhupada's disciples, I don't know. You've all seen that, of Krishna and Balaram, and the monkeys are stealing butter. Balaram is stealing, and Krishna's watching out to see if Mother Yashoda comes. And she's coming! You can see in the picture, with a stick in her hand, looking very angry, and they're about to be caught. And Krishna, the look on his face, oh no, we blew it, we're going to get caught. Of course, Krishna's a quick thinker, so he could always say that, hey, Balaram, get down with that. And just say, no, we were just stopping the monkeys, you see. We heard the monkeys were coming to steal. So, but Mother Yashoda, she knows Krishna. But she's not fooled by him. So that picture of fearful Krishna. How can our God be fearful of some village woman? Doesn't make any sense. Good. So Krishna is the Lord of the monkeys. That's a very important name for us. Because we all have, maybe you've heard this New Age thing in the West, they talk about your inner baby. Well, we all have our inner monkey, or a whole bunch of them. It's called the mind, which, just like a monkey, jumps here and there. You never know where it's going to jump to next, or what crazy things it's going to do next. So we're trying to bhaja hure mana sri nanda nandana. Fix our mind on Krishna. But if you fix your mind on Krishna, then his pastimes are also wild. But if we can fix our mind on Krishna, then the monkey-like mind, instead of jumping from one disaster to another in material consciousness, can be fixed at the lotus feet of Krishna. If Krishna can control millions of monkeys, then surely by taking shelter of Krishna, our monkey-like mind, which also has millions of jumping around here and there, our monkey-like mind can be pacified. He can control. We can't control. We can't control monkeys. We can't control even our own mind. But if we take shelter of Krishna, then Krishna will help us. And our mind can come under control. So he's Radhanath, Vaikunthanath, Pashupati, these are different. He's also Kapindra, he's the Lord of Radha, he's the Lord of Vaikuntha, He's the Lord of all animals, Pashupati especially, the cows. So he's the Lord of various, and he's also Lord of the monkeys. You could also say anything. Nagaraj is another name, that's a name for Vasuki or Ananta. The king of the snakes, you could say about everything, anything. Giriraj, king of the hills, Govardhan. But ultimately, all these names are meant for Krishna. But in the Vishnu Sahasranam, this name Kapindra, the lord of the monkeys, is something special. He's the lord of everything, and among the special things that he's the lord of, one of them is the monkey. Another meaning of this is Varaha, Kapindra, because Kapi can also mean a pig. So the great pig. Of course, normally if we say great pig to someone, that's a very great insult. But in the case of Varaha Deva, he's Varaha Deva. Deva means godly, effulgent, luminescent. And if we say Deva, that adds respect. So he's Varaha Deva, that's the name of Varaha. Also, and it's also from the Sanskrit, the meaning is derived, that he's... The word Kapi gives the idea of movement, maybe... I don't know, but that could be investigated, but quite likely, because Kapi means movement, so the term monkey, because monkeys, they're always moving, they're always active. Sometimes they sleep also, but mostly they're very active, so that could be the etymological derivation. So he's the controller of all movement, which means from the microcosmic, the movement of one atom, everything's moving within this world. Gachiti jagat, that which moves is called the world. That's the word jagat, means that which is always moving. So from the microcosmic level, the movement of one atom, the time it takes an atom to move from one space, the size of an atom, to another space, that is the smallest measure of time, which I believe is called a kshana, which is a common word, but exactly that's the definition. And up to the cosmic level, the movement of the sun, the stars, the planets, all under his control. Everything is under his control. And everything in between it also. With the blood circulation within our bodies, the respiratory circulation, the lymph system, the digestive, everything. Everything. All movement goes on under his control. Then the last name in this verse of Vishnu Sahasranam is Bhuri Dakshinaha. So you all know the word Dakshina. This is Dakshina, Bhuri Dakshina. Bhuri Dakshina means who liberally gives Dakshina. Dakshina. Dakshina is an offering given out of appreciation. It's not exactly the same as charity. In English we say something, I'm giving so-and-so a donation, but dakshina is not... Charity is given to someone less than you. Dakshina is given to someone more than you. There's a great difference in the attitude of how it's given. Dakshina is given for one's own minimally as a duty and for one's own purification. For instance, after the performance of sacrifices. That's stated in Bhagavad Gita, adakshina, that sacrifices that are performed, and then the yajaman, the one who engaged the yagyiks, the brahmanas, he doesn't properly reward them. They should give sufficient dakshina. So that if that mantra, what is that? Mantrahinam ashrishtanam. Vidihinam ashrishtanam mantrahinam adakshina. These are symptoms of the sacrifices. What is it? Yagya virahitam tamasam parichakshate, something like that. So, ashrishtanam mantrahinam adakshinam shraddha virahitam yagyam tamasam parichakshate. The description of yagyas in the mode of ignorance. They're not done according to the proper scriptural regulations. Without distribution of food. This is talking about big public sacrifices. Vidhihinam ashrishtanam mantrahinam, without proper mantras or without proper recitation of the mantras, without giving dakshina. That could also mean if one gives in an insulting way, a condescending way, or without faith, such a yagya is called in the mode of ignorance. So dakshina means to give with great respect. And a king who performs such public yagyas, he should give very liberally. His role as a kshatriya is one of the symptoms of a great king. There are several symptoms. Who's obviously should be very powerful, competent to defeat his enemies, to protect the citizens. He's powerful, so there are no thieves even dare to operate within his kingdom, and if they try to, he'll immediately suppress them. Another symptom of a great kshatriya, he's brahmanya, he's devoted to the brahmanas, and one symptom of his devotion to the brahmanas is that he liberally offers dakshina to them, particularly after the performance of sacrifices. And yeah, dakshina is given to the brahmanas. So the shudras, charity. It's a different thing altogether. They're also given charity. After performing a sacrifice, the nice clothes that the king wore, all that, they'll be given to the shudras. So shudras may be dressed very nicely also. But it's with leftover clothes. So this name is also Sri Vaishnava commentator Parashara Bhatta, this name, as with the previous name, he particularly links with Lord Rama, who most of his life, that means the long time that he lived after the disappearance of Sita, he then dedicated himself to performing one big sacrifice after another. He did that for thousands of years. And in every sacrifice, he gave abundant dakshina, or offerings, to the brahmanas. To be able to give abundant, offerings to the brahmanas and charity can be done if the king is organizing his kingdom very well, so that it's very productive. We're talking about self-sufficient farms, but actually that's minimal. Actually, we should produce kamam bavarsha parajan, just like the clouds are giving, according to desire, so much rain. So, the abundant greens and ghee, minerals, and then if there's more than needed, then build temples, have opulent deity worship, have sacrifices, yajnas, and then distribute abundantly to the brahmanas and to the shudras. The kshatriyas and the vaishyas, they never accept charity or offerings. The vaishyas produce, the kshatriyas tax and administrate, and they distribute what the vaishyas personally also distribute some charity, but the kshatriyas do so on a large scale. So that's one sign of a competent and glorious king, that he gives abundantly in charity. He can do so if he's organizing his kingdom in a way that abundant production is there, for which he'll also have to be very pious, because the earth only gives in quantity, in great quantity, if she's pleased by the piety of the king and the subjects. Of course, nowadays they, by demoniac means, they squeeze out of the earth food and this, but eventually she protests, and then she stops giving. And then the demons, they kill each other to try and acquire the resources in different places. So giving abundant dakshina, that is a symptom of the Supreme Lord, who's therefore called Bhuri Dakshina. Srila Prabhupada gave an example that his father had told him. His father said, God has 10 hands, so you only have 2 hands. This is a simple example that Prabhupada's father told him. He was a child. So, if God wants to take away from you, how can you prevent him? You only have 2 hands, he has 10 hands. If he wants to give you, how much can you take? He can give much more than we can take. And he can take away from us also. It's all up to him. Baladev Vidyabhushan, he says that on his birthday he gave abundant charity to the brahmanas. So we find in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, it's described, Nanda Maharaj, when celebrating Krishna's birthday, on behalf of Krishna, he gave much charity. Charity, well, it's an English word. There's no, that subtle distinction isn't there. So he gave abundantly dakshina to the brahmanas in the name of Krishna. As far as Krishna being generous in giving, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, or Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita states, Ishvara Ishvara Swabhav Bhaktena Loya Parad Alpo Sheva Bahu Mane Atta Prajanto Prasad. This term comes up more than once in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Atma Prajanto Prasad. He gives his mercy, Atma Prajanto, up to himself he gives mercy. So this whole verse means that it is the characteristic of the Supreme Lord that he doesn't take seriously any offense by his devotee, but any little service done by the devotee, he considers it very great, and in reciprocation, he gives his very self to the devotee. He gives mercy up to his very self. So what could be more? Who's the most charitable? The story is there of Maharaj Shibi, who is also considered a bodhisattva, if anyone's interested. who when Indra and Agni, I believe it was, came with a dispute. They came in the form of a pigeon and a hawk to Maharaj Shibi. And the pigeon said, "Give me shelter, give me shelter. This hawk wants to eat me, kill me and eat me." So the king said, "Yes, it's my duty to protect you." And the hawk said, "Well, I'm also your subject and you're preventing me from getting my proper food." So then the king said, "Okay, we'll put the pigeon on a scale and I'll cut from my own body flesh to the same weight. And you take that and eat it." So the hawk said, "Okay." So he cut the flesh, big hunk chopped from his own body. But it wasn't heavy enough. The pigeon was still heavier. So he cut some more, and still wasn't heavy enough. He cut some more, still wasn't heavy enough, so he just jumped on the scale and said, "Okay, just eat me all." So that was a test from Indra and Agni, the generosity of Maharaj. He was willing to give himself, his whole body. So Krishna is Bhuri Dakshina, gives himself, gives abundantly. Another meaning of has been derived of Bhuri Dakshina, that he makes things grow very fast. We can see that, especially when a baby's born, in a short time they grow very quickly. Here you all saw here, with the onset of the monsoon season, or the monsoonal rains to be more precise, the whole land was dry and brown. When the rains come, boom, just very quickly everything's green. How is that? That's Krishna makes everything grow very fast. Another meaning of Dakshina is very expert and capable. So one who is very expert and very capable is Lord Vishnu, but this name is not discussed by the commentators because there are already other names such as Daksha, which covers the meaning of expert. So, any question?
This Gopi Anugatya, you can attend Krishna Vrindavan by Gopi Anugatya. It does not apply to other devotees of Braja.
Gopi, without following the gopis, this verse says, one cannot attain Krishna in Vrindavan. So what does it refer? What about in Vatsalya Ras? Well, Vatsalya Ras, Yashoda is also a gopi. Prasadam lebhire gopi, and that verse refers to Yashoda. And Nanda Maharaj is bhav. Well, he also has to follow Yashoda. She's known, Yashoda is known as Vrajeshwari, the queen of Vrindavan. Even the all everything in Vrindavan follows the gopis. All the pastimes, just like all the planets, they rotate in respect to Dhruva. So all the Vraja Leela, it's all centered on the gopis. So by their pleasure, we can enter into that, not otherwise. That's exactly literally what that verse says. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Vishnu Sahasranama ki jai. Hare Krishna.